Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is bold requests. And the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want in any area of your life are 866-254-1579. It's toll free in the United States and Canada. 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 760-918-4300. And as always, I'd like to set the table and just start talking about the theme. And I forget whether we called it bold requests or unreasonable requests. But it's basically beginning to notice how much progress you can make on your goals in life and how far you can move forward in your life simply by asking. Asking for what you want, asking for something specific. I remember years ago, a friend of mine and I were talking about the idea of taking massive action. I think we'd listened to a Tony Robbins tape or something. We wanted to take massive action. And we started kind of going, well, what does massive mean? Like, how many actions do you suppose constitutes massive action? And somehow we came up with the number 20. And we said, okay, so 20 actions a day. That's the secret, taking 20 actions a day. But then we thought, well, what counts as an action? Because, you know, does an action count just because you do something, or does it have to produce a result? You know, if I phone somebody and they're not in, does that count as an action? What's the most effective kind of action to take? And what we came to realize was that the kinds of actions that really moved things forward were action requests. They were requests that we made of somebody else to take action on our behalf. Now, there's all sorts of books out there about taking action and making requests. One of my favorites is a book called The Aladdin Factor by Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. And one of the things they talk about is the 8 suggestions for asking for what you want. So ask as if you expect to get it. In other words, don't just kind of, I don't suppose you'd be willing to maybe do this for me. Ask as if you expect to get it. Hey, would you be willing to do this? Ask someone who can give it to you. You know, there's no point in calling me up and asking me to speak to Obama for you. Don't know. But there are people who do, and those would be the people to make that request of. Be clear and specific in your requests. So there's a big difference between saying, hey, I'm doing this project, and I would like you to do X, Y, and Z for me, and just kind of saying, hey, can you help? It'd be really great if you can help. And the thing is, even if you really want to help, you have no idea what actually is being asked. So being clear and specific in your request makes it a big difference. Ask with humor and creativity. You know, it doesn't have to be this big, serious, formal, I've thought about this for a long time, and I really, really want to ask, oh God. You know, just look, have some fun with it. You know, make it fun for the person being asked. Make it fun for you. Ask from the heart. You know, don't just say, hey, can you help me? Hey, can you help me? Hey, can you help me? Hey, can you? Figure out what it is that you really want and ask from that space, because people can feel the energy of that. There's something completely different about the energy of an authentic lit up desire and an intellectual request. Be prepared to give something in order to get something. Not rocket science, but, you know, a lot of our social culture just revolves around this idea of exchange, of reciprocity. And so your willingness to be reciprocal, to give in order to get, makes a big difference. And the final one that Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen said was, ask repeatedly and be gracious in accepting a no. And that's one of the ones that I really want to focus on our show today. Because one of the things that just makes a complete difference is how, not just how often you ask, but that you're willing to accept no for an answer. And in fact, ultimately, that's the secret to asking for what you want. I had a coach named Steve Hardison, and he is somewhat famous for his ability to ask pretty much anyone for pretty much anything. And he actually, I handed a copy of my book, Super Coach, to Mitt Romney at a political rally just because he decided to, and he started asking people who he would need to talk to. And before you knew it, boom, he was able to do that. And one of my favorite stories about him dates back to his time when he was a missionary in the Mormon church. And one time he went up to this house and he began speaking about the church's teachings. And, you know, he's a devout Mormon, and he was speaking to the man who entered the door. And while, you know, I think if you do that kind of thing, you're probably used to doors being slammed. But this guy went a step further and actually punched him in the face. And Steve's nose began to bleed. And without missing a beat, he asked the man for a towel to help stop the bleeding so they could continue their conversation. Now, I don't know about you, but when somebody punches me in the nose, at that point, I tend to make up they don't want to talk to me. But I'd be making it up. And because of that, I don't always ask the questions that, if I asked them, would get me the answers and the results that I most want in my life. We're going to talk more about this throughout the show, but we will go to the phones in just a moment. The numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll-free in the United States and Canada. And from outside the U.S., you can reach the show on 760-918-4300. And let's go to Carlos in New York. Carlos, welcome to the show. What can I do for you now?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm calling because I have made a request. I wanted to have an exhibition in a gallery with whom I'm working with.
Yeah.
And the answer was positive, yes. Actually, they gave me two. Mm-hmm. One coming up in January, and then next, a year from this January.
Yeah.
And right now I'm doing the work. I've been working since I knew about it a year ago. I feel quite good with what I'm doing, but in that desire of making the leap forward, I'm facing the terrible fear of not meeting the expectation, making this big picture in my mind of what I want. In that sense of a struggle, although I know that I will meet the expectation, and I know that all this pain, it will be something great coming out of it, but I would love to get rid of that sense of weight and that fantasy of fatalism that, you know, plagued my mind.
Sure. So here's a couple of thoughts, and you can make of them what you will. The first is to really notice the difference between an expectation and an agreement. So this isn't so much the expectation you're making up in your head, but it's whatever expectations you think that they have of you. And when you don't have clear agreements with someone, what tends to fill that gap, that vacuum, is expectation. So in other words, if you haven't made an agreement with them about, hey, here's what I'm going to deliver, here's the space that you agree to give me, here's what I agree to deliver. If that's not all clear, then that space is going to tend on both sides to get filled up with expectations and hopes and fears.
What about if it's clear, the place, the location, the time, and everything? I've been proved before that I can deliver. But the turmoil is an internal turmoil. It's the aim of really being the best I could ever be.
A'll do. We can just stick with A.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, and that's what you're doing, you're thinking about it, and because of the nature of thought, when you think about that, the more you think about it, the more real it seems, and the scarier it gets. I had a friend, do you paint? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
So I had a friend who worked in a mental hospital, and he told me about a patient who worked in the mental hospital who was an amazing painter, or drawing, a sketch, would draw pen and ink. And would do these sketches of these terrifying monsters and then would see the picture and run screaming out of the room. He couldn't connect that he had created the picture. And then when it was like almost like something switched off, and when he looked again, it was real and he had to leave. And that's what we do in our heads all the time. We make a scary picture in our head. We somehow forget that we're the ones who made the scary picture. And then we do everything we can to cope with the fear that we've just generated for ourselves.
Okay, and what about the other, now about the unreasonable request? What about if you really want to use the opportunity to bring the best out of you, the best that ever existed inside, all your potential. How do you achieve that? How do you make the smooth path?
Well, so here, let's look at that particular goal, to be the absolute best, the absolute max, the apps to get every ounce of perfection and creativity and everything out.
And freedom and joy.
Oh, you want freedom and joy too? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So here's where, and this isn't a Carlos thing, this is a human being thing. If you try to squeeze everything and to kind of get something to that absolute edge, for most people, most of the time, what you just wind up with is stress and disappointment.
Okay.
So what I'm going to, and this may sound so odd, especially if you've spent your whole life trying to be the best that you can be, but I want to talk just for a moment in praise of average. Now, when I say average, I don't mean like ordinary. I don't mean dull. I don't mean what somebody else would do.
I love your chapter about average.
It's just finding your own high average. Because if you keep showing up and you keep doing your best, because you're always doing your best, let's face it, you know, whatever we do in any moment is the best we can do in that moment. But you keep doing, you don't push yourself too hard and you don't push yourself too light, but you just keep doing the best you can each day, creating this sort of high average. What you create, even from what you've already told me, is already to a standard that people will love it, that they respond beautifully to it. And the more you're willing to have those average days and do that average amount of work in an average way, the higher that average will get. And it gets to the point where your average, compared to what other people are used to, is exceptional. But for you, you're still just showing up, doing your thing each day. No pressure, no fear, no stress, just creativity and freedom and joy.
Thank you very much. I love your book and I love your program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. Thank you for phoning in. Do you know, we all do this. You know, I was talking about the schizophrenic with the painting. We all have this gift of thought. And it's like having the coolest paint set in the world. And if all you had was the paint set, you couldn't do anything with it, right? If you imagine sort of painting in the air, well, it might be fun, but your arm's going to get tired and there's not going to be anything there to experience. But we also have this other gift, this gift of consciousness, this ability, this capacity for awareness, for experiencing our thinking. And so that's like having the canvas to put the paint onto. And so we take our thoughts and we paint them on the canvas. We fill the canvas of our consciousness with our thoughts. And if we paint something beautiful, we have a beautiful experience. And if we paint something scary, we have a scary experience. And if we paint something sad, we have a sad experience. And whatever experience we paint on that canvas, that's the experience that we have. But there's this third gift, this energy behind life, this intelligence behind life, this spirit that is always moving towards the good. It's moving towards health. It's moving towards well-being. It's moving towards life. Life begets life. And if you allow your hand to be guided by that intelligence, by that wisdom, by that creative power, what you paint and what you experience will so far exceed what you can currently imagine. Well, it's by definition, it's unimaginable. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Christine in L.A. Christine, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. My question is, when you said that, you know, keep asking for what you want, what if what you want is to be reimbursed for expenses and they aren't following through on that? And you have to keep asking and keep asking and not getting anywhere.
Well, so here's where the definition, I seem to be talking about insanity quite a lot today. Here's where the definition of insanity comes in, which is
right.
Repeating the same action and expecting a different result.
Right.
So here are some of the variations. You can change who you're asking. You can change what you're asking. You can change how you're asking.
Okay.
And you can all okay. You've done all of those. And
well,
how many,
it's been going on for a long time, and then I realized, yes, I can't keep, you know, letting them allowing them to not pay me. So I involved a few other people within it, and I set a time limit and consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
And have you requested help in delivering those consequences?
Not yet.
Okay.
I gave 30 days. Otherwise, I will speak to someone and potentially small claims court. Now I finally have gotten a voicemail back,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't called back yet because I want to be in the right frame of mind. I don't want to fall into victim. And
so here's the thing, Christine. I said the show was about unreasonable requests, and sometimes they're easier than what feels like a reasonable request.
Right.
Because when you're making something that feels like a reasonable request, there's a tendency to not understand when somebody doesn't respond because it's reasonable. After all, this was our agreement. You said you would pay me this. I said I did the job. You're not doing it. That's very unreasonable. And it takes us deeper and deeper into our reasonable head.
Right.
And our reasonable head just isn't creative. Our reasonable head, it gets very confused and frustrated when people don't do what's reasonable.
Exactly.
But here's the thing about human beings. I don't know if you've noticed this. I had a physics teacher in high school, and this isn't very necessarily a very nice thing, but I thought he made a very good point. He said, if you kick a football, and I know the weight of that football and the speed of your leg, I can calculate exactly where that football will land using the laws of physics. But if you kick a dog, there's no telling where that dog's going to wind up. And human beings are a lot more like the dog than the football.
Right.
You know, we're not inherently rational creatures, much as we'd love to think of ourselves that way. And if you can stay in the realization that your well-being is not dependent on them delivering, while of course you would prefer they deliver, you may even be willing to go to quite extreme lengths in order for them to deliver on their promise and honor their agreement. Ultimately, really, really, really big picture, do you think that you're going to die any more or less happy if they pay you or not?
Oh, no, I know that doesn't, yeah.
So if you can keep that awareness, far from shutting you down and going, oh, well, there's no point, I'm just going to walk away, but they win and it sucks, blah, blah, blah. Actually, what it does is it frees you up to get even more creative and to find even more ways of asking. Because again, one of the keys of asking, and the key that in a way is the key to the keys, is it that it's an actual request, not a demand. A demand says you can't say no. A request is a request. And you can request anything. I'm not saying you shouldn't create consequences. I'm not saying you shouldn't make the request of a judge instead of the person if they continue not to honor the agreement. That's all fine. But
yeah, I'd rather not do that.
Your experience of this game will be entirely of getting what you want, the getting what you want from these people game, will be entirely different if you see it as a very important and very reasonable thing, and I'm just trying to kind of, you know, it's the principle of it. Or if you kind of go, huh, all right, I played the Jack of Spades and they played the Queen of Hearts. Okay, let's, I'm going to move my rook to Queen Bishop 5. And the whole thing just stays fun. And when you're in that place of fun, you're at a higher level of consciousness. You see more clearly. You have more useful thoughts. You have more creative thoughts. And you're just more likely to create the result you want. So worst case, you have a great time playing the game of getting paid. Best case, you have a really great time playing the game of getting paid and you get paid.
Yeah, I'm trying to get myself more in that place before I respond.
Yeah, and I think that's worthwhile, because from that place your response will be so joyful for you that it not only has a better chance of getting a positive response. You're just, it's not going to matter. It's like, well, that didn't work. Let me try something else. As if each thing you try is so darn important and has to work, well, that's exhausting. And that's why people give up. People
right.
give up because they make each play in the game so important. And they put so much on it that it doesn't feel like a game anymore. They don't want to play anymore. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home.
Well, and I'm thinking that they're hoping I do that.
Yeah. No, I'm sure they are. But what they don't realize is that you're actually having fun.
Oh, okay.
See, it would make sense that you would go home if this was hell for you.
Right.
But if this is like the best game of Monopoly you've ever played, or what's a game you like?
I don't normally play games.
Okay, well, I think this is probably more important to your well-being than getting this money. But if but honestly, if you can make this the most wild, enjoyable, ridiculous game you've ever played.
Okay.
You can play it forever. And if you can play it forever, let me tell you, they're going to lose.
Yeah. I'm not even interested in somebody winning or losing. I'm just,
I am. Let me be the fan on the side who cares. Okay. I want you to win.
Okay. Well,
but I know.
But I mean, I'm not at their expense. I'm not looking for them to lose.
Actually, in fairness, literally at their expense.
Well, true. You're correct.
So, I mean, look, I'm all for being spiritual and loving and stuff. No, hang on. I really am.
It was my expense to begin with that I want back.
I want to do all that. But, you know, most people confuse lose-win with win-win. They think, hey, I want to win-win. I want it to be great for them. And then they wind up giving away all this stuff so that the other person gets to feel good about themselves. Well, that's not win-win.
Okay, I see that, yeah.
That's lose-win. And I'm just saying win. I don't mind if they feel like they've won or they feel like they've lost. That's just a game they're going to play in their heads.
Right.
But I have a vested interest as your super coach, at least for the last 5 minutes, in you winning. And I know that the secret to you winning is you beginning to really enjoy the heck out of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Okay.
All right. And please phone us back. Let us know how it all goes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Christine. Do you know, this is a general life thing, and it's a wonderful life thing that when something that you're doing doesn't feel like a game, all that means is you've gotten scared of the monster that you drew in your head. That somehow whatever you're thinking about this has started to seem so real that creativity and joy of creating the painting is temporarily missing. And when you see it for what it is, it is a game. This whole game of life that we play, and I'm going to do this for you, and you're going to do this for me, and I'm going to say this, and you're going to say that. It's a game. It's a wonderful game. It's a game that really facilitates the exchange of goods and services on our planet, but it's still just a game. And win or lose, you still get to keep your well-being when you go home at the end of each night. Unless you somehow invest that. You somehow put that on the game and say, okay, this is no longer just a game. This is my life. This is my happiness. This is my meaning. And as soon as you do that, you lose the ability to play. And of course, that changes the game. So we're going to be back with more calls. Brenda, you're going to be first up when we get back after the break. The numbers to call are 866-254-1579. Toll free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. From outside the United States, you can reach the show on 760-918-4300. And just sort of a thought to take with you into the break. What would be the biggest request you can imagine making that if someone said yes to it, it would totally change whatever project it is you're working on? It would totally transform your business. Like, you know, if I could just ask Donald Trump to stick $30 million would be plenty into my company, that would change everything. If I could just ask this one person to come and work for me for nothing for a year, that would change everything. And I want you to just really play with what would be the biggest, boldest request you could possibly make, even if you think I would never make it, because that's going to give you a clue about how you're holding yourself back because of your own fear of your own thinking. We're going to be right back after this break. Bye-bye for now.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about unreasonable, bold requests and having what you want in any area of your life. And we're going to go back to the phones and we're going to talk to Brenda in California. Brenda, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've learned an awful lot about what I've always been the type of person that has tremendous fear, the what ifs in life. We've been in business for 22 years. I didn't think things would get as bad as they've got, so now I understand why my thinking creates those things.
Mm.
My bold move is I've always wished I could just hit the lottery, have everything paid off, and not do this stuff every day.
So now that's, so what would the bold request would be, because remember, part of a request is asking somebody who can actually do what it is you're asking.
Right.
Would be asking somebody to fund your life.
Right.
So rather than the lottery, which, I mean, I suppose you can ask the lottery, but it's not really a thing you can ask, you know, is to start looking at, well, gee, who could I ask to do this? If I really want this, if this isn't just an escape fantasy, and it's worth checking in with yourself and seeing, we all have our little escape fantasies, you know, where we go off to the island and we sit in the sun. But the reality is, if we really think it through, that's not what we want. We just want the relief of not having to deal with whatever it is we're dealing with now.
Right.
But if you, the reason I'm saying this is I actually have a friend who decided he wanted to write mystery novels. And so he was sort of talking to his coach and he was saying, well, you know, I mean, it'd be great if I didn't have to work, you know, if I could just work on my novel. I mean, that would be amazing. Grumble, 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 grumble. And his coach said, well, why don't you get somebody to do that, to pay for that? He was like, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, would you be willing to give up part of the rights of your books to somebody if they were willing to, you know, give you the money that you could just take the time off to write? And this guy had written books before, but never written any fiction and never, you know, achieved anything like a level of success that would make it a kind of an obvious investment. And I have to admit, even I was surprised, because this guy went out and started asking. And in the end, they had a bidding war between five people who all wanted to pay the equivalent of 1 year salary for this guy so that he wouldn't have to work for a year in exchange for a percentage of the books that he was going to write. So I'm not saying that's what you should do. I'm saying that's the power of a bold request.
Right. And what I'm trying to figure out is I think I haven't even stopped long enough to think what I really want to do in life to get that inspiration.
Right. So I'm going to say that actually it's the stopping that's going to really serve you. Now, I don't mean stopping as in, you know, don't go to work ever again till you know.
Right.
I just mean, see, I'm always terrible to choke on the radio. I try and do it in the breaks, but I didn't quite pull it off this time. But what I mean
is choking.
maybe it's sympathetic, like an empathic choke we have going.
I think
that if you take even a pause from what's going on to just sit back and just let things settle a bit. I had a beautiful image come to me the other day of our wisdom speaking to us. And it was like in a movie that it spoke in writing at the bottom of a swimming pool. So like you'd ask a question and then you'd go to the swimming pool and you'd look at the bottom and you could read the answer. And that the only thing that would mess it up was when somebody was swimming, because you wouldn't be able to read because the pool would be all disturbed. But that if you just were willing to kind of wait by the side of the pool, as soon as that person got out, the pool would go still again, and you'd be able to read the answer to your question. And it seems to me the mind works a lot like that. That if you are willing to kind of step back for a minute and step out of all the thinking and figuring it out and trying to work it all out and trying to make sense of it all, and just look in the direction of your own wisdom, that actually pretty much every question does get answered. And maybe the first bold request is of yourself and your own wisdom. And it's guide me. Show me what to do. Show me the way.
And then how do you know what to listen? You know, I'm trying to learn what to listen to get.
Well, you know, there are some subtle clues. If it says, you must kill all the people, that's probably not it. That's like one subtle clue. It feels good. That's my experience of wisdom. There is a feeling of peace or well-being or rightness that accompanies it. It's often a sort of a quiet feeling. You know, it's usually not trumpets and drums and lightning and Charlton Heston. It's usually just like a quiet knowing. And there's a sense of peace around it. And if there isn't, then that's not wisdom. That's that voice inside your head. That's the brass band, not the flute.
And I need to figure out how to hear the brass band.
Well, no. In fact, the brass band is what stops you from hearing the flute. You know, the problem with the still small voice within is it's really still and small.
Yeah.
But it's not so still and small that you can't hear it unless your head is filled with noise. And it really is just about looking for those moments of quiet. We all have them, no matter what's going on. And just when you find a moment of quiet, just being in it. When you find a beautiful feeling, just hang out in it. And let that feeling and let that quiet guide you, because they're the gateway. They're the gateway to your wisdom, to your guidance. Whereas being up in your head trying to figure it all out, that's the gateway to hell.
And I've been up there a long
time. Yeah. Yeah. I think I saw you there, actually. It was awful. Nothing personal.
You have no idea.
Yes, sadly, I do. Okay. So would you be willing to make that bold request of yourself?
Yes. I've been trying to get there and figure out where I need to be. And
I'm going to make a little distinction for you, Brenda, and I just want you to play with this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a big difference between you've been trying to get there.
Right.
And making a request for it to reach out and grab you.
Yes. I understand.
Okay. Thank you for phoning.
Thank you so much, Michael.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
And listen, we all have access to this same wisdom. It is part of the design element. I have never met someone who doesn't have access to that wisdom. The problem is, either we don't think we have it, so we don't ask, or we don't know how to listen. And the only reason we don't know how to listen is because we've never tried. We've efforted, we've strived. I'm trying to hear wisdom. What are you doing? Do you have to go to the bathroom? No, I'm trying to hear wisdom. It's not like that. It's just relax. And wisdom speaks. And it is. It comes with the most wonderful feeling of peace and knowing. And even if you've only had that one or two times in your life, I'm here to tell you that is available in every moment. Let's go to Hawaii. Let's go to Maui and speak with Donna. Donna, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Well, yes. I was going through a separation. I was just wondering how to get a peaceful, communicative situation with my husband here.
Well, I would start with seeing about getting into a peaceful, communicative relationship with the husband in your head. And what I mean by that is there's four of us in every relationship. There's you, me, there's the version of you I make up in my head and argue with, and then there's the version of me that you make up in your head and argue with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You recognize that, right?
Yes.
And we think that the primary problem is with the person outside us. And I'm not saying that there may not be problems with the person outside you, but actually the unrest, the thing that keeps us up at night, the thing that we drive ourselves crazy with, is those arguments that we have with that person in our head, the sock puppet. So it's like our crazy person from earlier. We make up we make a sock puppet that looks kind of like the person that we have been married to or dating or with in whatever way. And then we get into these god-awful arguments with the sock puppet. And we get so mad at the sock puppet that by the time we see the real person, we are in no state to have a peaceful, communicative conversation. Now, does that ring a bell?
Yes, a little. See, I'm okay. I'm pretty peaceful. He seems angry and frustrated. and withdrawn and so forth.
And when you think about his anger and withdrawing, are you comfortable with that?
No.
Okay, so that's the bit that I'm talking about. Okay. Is that if you can find your peace with that. And listen, the only reason why anyone ever does anything unkind is because they're unwell. The only reason we ever do anything unkind is because in that moment, we're hurting. That doesn't make it okay. That doesn't make the behavior okay. And it doesn't mean we have to stay with somebody because we understand that the only reason they're being a jerk is that they're hurting. But it does make it easier to stay in a peaceful place of loving kindness in relation to them. Because we get that it isn't personal. I don't know if you've ever heard me use the metaphor of being by the pool and you're trying to read your book and there's this kid in the pool and he's splashing and you're trying to kind of, okay, that's fine. I'm sure the kid's mom will come and take him and you're trying to just relax by the pool and read your book, but the splashing is getting more and more and the noise is getting more and more and you finally just get so frustrated and you slam down your book and you go to yell at the kid and you realize he's not splashing, he's drowning. Now, in that moment, everything changes, does it not?
Oh, yes, it does.
And to the extent that you can see, and again, this doesn't mean you have to therefore do anything behaviorally. It doesn't mean you have to stay with somebody. It doesn't mean you have to, give them another chance. It's just when you can see that the reason that people do that is because they're drowning in themselves, it just makes it easier. And from that place, your wisdom will guide you to the best things to do.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Would you be willing to just even play with that as a possibility?
Yes.
All right.
And it's a very complicated situation. I mean, seems like a movie. movie.
The problem is that when we get into the story of our problems, the story of our relationship, it is complicated because we have to deal with all the different manifestations. I have a friend who's a psychiatrist and he talks about the DSM-4, which is the diagnostics manual that psychiatrists use to diagnose mental illness in patients. And he said, the thing is the DSM-4 gets bigger and bigger every time they publish a new one. Because there are more and more manifestations of mental illness that come up and are categorized, and it's become this huge volume. And he said, but the thing is, every single behavior in the DSM-4 is actually a coping behavior for an uncomfortable feeling and an insecure thought. And if you try to deal with the manifestations, you could go forever. There'll always be more of them. But if you go back to the thought, if you go back to whatever that thought is that seems so real, that it's causing the person to behave in that way, then that can be let go in an instant. And that's the potential. Doesn't mean it's going to happen like that every time, but that's the hope. That's the potential. That's the possibility, no matter how complicated it seems. In any moment, you could see it differently. And when that happens, the stress goes away, and whatever action there is to be taken can be taken from that place of ease and well-being.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense, because there was I'm much better now, but there was issues that I had that I needed to correct, which is pretty much what you said about how a person feels and so forth.
Yeah. We're all fighting the good fight. We're all doing the best we know how to do. Now, that doesn't excuse anything, but it does allow us to understand it and take it a little less personally.
Mm. Okay.
Complete for now?
Oh, yes, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna.
Okay, bye-bye.
It really is one of those things where it's the story is so exciting. You know, the details are so involving, and every time we tell them, they get more dramatic and more involved and more, but they also take us further and further away from our source, from our peace, from our innate health, from our innate well-being. And the more you're willing to turn your back on that, not in denial, not hiding from it, but look in the direction of where is this experience coming from? How is it that I'm having this experience? What thoughts am I filling my consciousness with that are causing me to experience this discomfort and then behave in whatever way I've learned to behave, whether it's drinking, whether it's violence, whether it's television watching, whether it's eating, whatever I've learned to do to cope with these uncomfortable feelings? Let's go back to the feelings, and then let's go back before the feelings to the thought. And then let's go back even before the thought to that great big empty space of pure potential, of universal consciousness, of universal thought, of universal mind. Because from that place, that heals old wounds. It's not time that heals old wounds, though often things are healed over time. It's opening up to the light of whatever it is, that thing that's behind us, that thing that makes the whole game go, the power behind the brain. It's like we think it's all up in our brain, but you can take apart a computer forever and never find the power source. And you can learn everything there is to learn about the brain and never really even touch what it is that makes the brain work, that spark of life. And that's, you know, that's what we have inside us. So we're getting kind of deep today. But if you want to get in talking about making bold requests or having what you want in any area of your life, numbers to call 866-254-1579. Toll free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. Here's something you can try. I do a program called Creating the Impossible. And we have a new one coming up in October. So if you want to find out more about that, go to creatingtheimpossible.net. And it's a one-month program where we ask people to choose an impossible goal. And by an impossible goal, what I mean is a goal that you figure you've got less than a 50% chance of successfully achieving. If you think, well, do you know what? It's going to be hard, but I can do this. That's not an impossible goal. An impossible goal is, well, that's never going to happen. Like, I'm sure somebody was listening. It might have been you who was listening to me talk about my friend who got five people to offer to pay him a year's worth of money so that he could write his books. And you go, well, that's impossible. Perfect. That's what we're looking for when you create the impossible. And here's how you can begin to put this to work, whether you do the program or not, is take your impossible goal, when you get clear on what it is, and begin to make a list of the kinds of things that you'd like help with, the kind of things that you need to ask for in order to make this impossible goal happen. So just the possible things you'd like help with, and formulate an action request, a bold request, an unreasonable request, using any of the guidelines that we talked about earlier in the show, asking as if you expect to get it, asking someone who can give it to you, being clear and specific in your request, asking with humor and creativity, asking from the heart, being prepared to give something in order to get something, asking repeatedly, and most importantly of all, being gracious in accepting a no. So let's say your impossible goal is that you want to have an amazing website with thousands of people going to it, and you want to do it all in 30 days. Well, okay, who might you might want somebody to do the web design. You might want somebody who can maintain the site. You might want to find a good mailing list manager so you can keep track of the people who come. You might want to help marketing the site. You might want to increase the circulation of your newsletter or the size of your network. And that's the target that you're going to create a request from. So you're going to make a list of some of the things that you need that would make it possible for you to have this impossible goal, some of the help you need, some of the actions you'd like other people to take on your behalf, and then you're going to make a list of the people you can ask. Now, if you make that list according to, well, what's reasonable and who you think might say yes, it's going to be a very short list. So I want you to make the list of the people you can ask based on who could actually fulfill the request. Not who you think will, but who could. So again, You don't want to make a request for $1 million from somebody who's living on Skid Row. But you, similarly, you don't want to ask probably for somebody to come babysit of a big business person who's traveling around the world. Ask somebody who actually could take the action that you would like them to take, and then start to ask. You can ask people at home. You can ask people at work. You can ask your friends. You can ask at your children's school. You can ask yourself. You can ask your higher power. And once you've made your list and you've started asking, ask at least 20 times. Now, you might make one request of 20 different people. You might make 20 different requests. But if you go out there and you get your request out into the world at least 20 times, you're going to be amazed at what starts to happen. Now, I talk about this in the Creating the Impossible program. Be kind to yourself. If you're somebody who's never really asked anyone for anything and you're listening to the show because, you know, you're thinking that maybe if you really get something from the show, you'd be able to ask the guy sitting in the restaurant to stop smoking, and it's that scary for you. If you find it difficult to ask directions when you're lost, getting all the way to 20 bold requests might seem insane, and it might be a little bit difficult, and you can do it. So if 20 just seems insane for you, 20 bold requests, I haven't even made one not bold request, and I don't want to play. Okay, make it a slightly less insane number. But I do like it to be a little insane, because we're creating the impossible. And, you know, if you're going to create the impossible, that's an unreasonable act. That's an insane, slightly insane act. So if you want to just ask 10 times, ask 10 people, make it 10. If you want to make it 5, you can probably get away with 5. But I really encourage you, if you really want to get the benefit of making bold, unreasonable requests, ask 20 people to take some sort of action on your behalf this week to help you create the impossible in your life. And just, if you did that every single day, like if you did that for the next 5 days, that would be 100 bold requests. Do you think if you made 100 bold requests that you'd start to create some momentum towards your goal? That just in asking, it would become much more possible that you create what previously seemed impossible? Because that's my experience. That's my experience of how it works. Now, there's a metaphor for this, which is a way of thinking about it. I've shared it on the show before, but is that we create in the world in the same way that candles are made, where we dip the wick in wax. And if you want to make a candle, you start with a wick and you dip the wick in hot wax and you take it out and you let it dry. And each time you do, more wax forms to the wick. And after a period of time, you have a solid candle. Well, each time you speak a request, each time you make a proposal, each time you talk to somebody about what it is that you want to create in your life and you want to have in your life, it becomes more solid. It's almost like the sound waves that are coming out of your mouth start to transmute from audio to kinesthetic, from word to form, and begin to gain a solidity. And the more you do that, the more solid it becomes. And of course, as it becomes more solid, the easier it is to work with, the easier it is for you to see it, the easier it is for other people to see it, because it's come quite solid. And then the easier it is for them to respond favorably to it and get excited about it and enroll themselves in it and participate. And that's conscious creation. And that happens simply by speaking what you want out into the world and speaking your bold requests. If you're interested in that, check us out, creatingtheimpossible.net online. You can also find out more about me and what I do at geniuscatalyst.com. In the meantime, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now.